Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are planning on finishing up our discussion about tithing and scriptures and giving, and really the distinction between tithing and giving. Our main goal has been to really look at what the scriptures say, if they are meant to teach Christians, those of us who have been born again after the resurrection, if we are meant to follow and fulfill the laws that were given to the Israelites under the law. And hopefully, if you've been following the series at all, you've come to the same conclusion that I have, that the scriptures are very clear as to who these laws apply to, and it is not to you and I. Now, this poses some problems, because what it gets down to very often is, how are we going to behave as new beings, as spirit beings? And we see in one of the first conclusions we started to talk about last week was where Paul commended the Bereans as to their thoughtfulness in approaching a problem and coming to a conclusion as to how to proceed. The Bereans were commended because they looked up a divisive situation in the scriptures, in the Torah, for themselves, and then they were convinced and convicted as to the truth of who the Messiah was, what Christianity was, what the resurrection was about. And they overcame the fear of man and their own traditions, and then were willing to change and do things differently. And this is really what we're often up against, is, are we willing? It's one thing to have your mind changed, to be convinced and convicted in your heart, mind, however you want to put it, after studying, research, and listening to God, spending time hearing from Him. For instance, Lord, I have a problem with this doctrine because of this. And giving Him an opportunity to reveal His truth, His perspective, the reality of the situation. And then being willing to let go of our own ideas, what we've been taught, what suits our temperament. And then that's one, that is right there the first thing that has to happen, is each of us has to be convinced and convicted in ourselves, for ourselves. We are each responsible for that. Your spouse, your parents, your pastor, your Bible study leader, your fill in the blank, cannot make those decisions for you. There is nobody else responsible for your beliefs but you and God.
So being open to God changing your beliefs is crucial to having a living relationship with Him. If we go to Him and say, God, I want to know You, I want to have a relationship with You, but I don't want to change, I like what I believe, don't mess with it, we are basically saying, you can't be God. You can't be the God in this relationship. I'm going to be the God. And guess what? He is not bound by that. He's still going to be the God. And He will very often let us try to be the God in areas until we realize we cannot run our own lives. We were never meant to. We aren't able to. And that's why we recognize our need for Him to begin with. But when we see how often our leaders, and in Jesus' day it was the Pharisees, they taught the people what they wanted them to believe for their own purposes. It benefited them that the people believed certain things. And they laid burdens and expectations and raised the standards and misrepresented God. And this is, and we spent quite a bit of time back in Malachi on how the anger that was expressed from God towards those who misrepresented Him to the people of God. And today you and I have that same challenge, that many of those who we have given some level of authority, whether because they are head of a church or a movement, or they have a reverend in front of their name or initials after their name, they've gone to the right denominational ministry school, and they say all the right things. They say what we want to hear, or our parents taught us that this is the denomination that has all the answers, or however we get connected in to where we find ourselves today. We are all all of our lives are a summation of all the previous days that lead us to where we are right now. But each day we have an opportunity to be changed by God. And as we start preferring to be one with Christ, we find we don't need, and it can hinder us to have a mediator. There is no mediator between us and God other than Christ. And He did all the work that was necessary 2,000 years ago. So when we start looking at what we believe, we can take that directly to Him. And we've talked multiple times, if this is not what God wants to be talking to you about right now, that's fine. None of this is about your salvation, about you being a spirit being or not. This is simply about, are you being taught to go to God to have your questions answered? Or are you being taught law? And law comes in so many forms, and this is one of them, that it is your duty as a Christian, part of your definition of being an evangelical Christian is to tithe. And without, you know, we could discuss, what does that mean to be an evangelical Christian? Is that a denomination or a mindset? And basically, I avoid that term altogether, and I'm just going to be a Christian. And as far as what are the requirements of being a Christian is, have you been born again? Have you been re-spirited? And in a lot of ways, none of us can answer that for anyone else. But is your desire to know God better? And for most people, for instance, going to church, that's really what they want. But they're not really being taught how to know God better. They're given a list of things to do, of things that they are told please God. And if you're pleasing Him, then when you die, you go to heaven, and that's when you'll have a relationship with God. But that's not factual. Even if you believe it, that's not God's plan. He has revealed Himself and is revealing Himself and will reveal Himself. And in your spirit, you already know Him fully and completely. And when we recognize the power of our own beliefs, we're then willing to release our beliefs and let God change them. Because, for instance, a fact is anything I can get you to believe. It doesn't have to be true. And up against now is such an established religious perspective that saying what you've been taught is not true carries a huge burden. And so this is why we always point you back to checking with God. When we look back to the example of Jesus, when He was the living Word and He dwelt amongst the people and He was walking and talking with them, He not only exemplified, but He was God in the flesh, accessible, one-on-one, person-to-person. They could touch God. They could hug God. They could eat with God. They could ask God questions. Even then, they were astonished at His presentness, that God had made Himself that accessible. He is even more present to us, because He is in us and is well able to convince us in any area in His timing and in His way. It is His job to make Himself known, to make Himself real. So one of the conclusions of this teachings is to go to God and let Him convince you one way or another of any of the doctrines, any beliefs. And in this case, the concept of tithing versus giving. We've talked before about how that's one of the main problems of being taught to tithe, is that it precludes, it keeps you from having to go to God. It cuts Him out of the conversation, and you make some assumptions. And any time we do that, any time we cut God out of the conversation, we've got a problem. We're saying we don't need Him in that area. But we want to recognize on the positive side that He has enabled us. He has made the way for us to come to before His throne boldly and ask Him His truth, His reality on this situation, in this doctrine or belief or in any situation. Now, another way to look at this is about giving. If we're not tithers and we're givers, we need to learn how to give. And one way to kind of test our concept of giving and to see if you are maybe being manipulated or pressured in whatever situation you're in. You are free to give only if you are free not to give. If you're being told, well, we need you were asking for money, but you don't need to give. But if you don't give, little children are going to die. There is a subtle attempt there that to remind you that you're really not free to not give. Because guess what? Those little children are not your responsibility. They're God's responsibility. And your job is to give when he tells you and to learn how to give. So one way to know if we are giving because we have received is if we are free not to give. It was for freedom we were set free. God doesn't need or want us turning again to the bondage of musts and shoulds. That's that legalism. That doesn't mean we may not strongly feel the urgent need to distribute what God has made available. In other words, to give. But there is a difference between impel, the drive that comes from within, and compel, the pressure that comes from without, or from our mind or misbeliefs. Because we have a new nature, we now give because it's our new nature. It is who we are, and we want to give. In fact, over time you may find it more likely that God will have to refrain you from giving for whatever reason, rather than to encourage you to give. Because the more you start bringing this into your relationship and discussion with God, the more your new nature of being a giver, that is your nature, that's the major component of your new nature is to give. That is the expression of love that is within you now. And the more you recognize that, and the more time you spend with him, the more that is engaged, and the more God has to stop you from giving. But then this brings us to the whole question is of are you free to give? And here's just a little test. If you are currently tithing or making regular donations to a ministry, group, or person, ask the Lord each time if that is the amount he wants you to give. This is just between you and him. You don't have to let anybody else know you're doing this. This is easy and simple. But this reinforces what this is all about, your relationship with God. Tell him that unless you hear the contrary, you will assume his answer is yes. Then give him an opportunity to speak. To change the amount, to say yes or no. This is about your relationship. The goal here is not to give the right amount. Our giving, like every aspect of our life, is about our relationship. And our goal is to enjoy that relationship and to have that confidence that we are hearing him as he makes himself known. He may make some small changes or large ones in your giving or other areas of your life. Now, if this is an area of great concern for you, or if there's other things involved, other people or commitments, ask the Lord to make small changes for you first. Remember, he's a loving God who is not trying to trick us or make it hard for us to recognize his voice. And it's okay to make a mistake, or two, or three, or four. In fact, we mostly learn from our mistakes, not from doing things right the first time. Finally, learning to give rather than tithing gives life. There's an uplift. We are not bound to meet standards. We are an everlasting well of life that springs up within us to others. Now, personally, when the Lord started talking to me about this, how I was maintaining control over my finances by putting the principle of tithing above his personal instruction, he asked me to ask him what he wanted me to do every time I went into my wallet, not just about ministry-related matters, but purchases as well. I was a very consistent and heavy duty and did the calculations tither. I was a very religious tither. It was very important to me. And when God put his finger on it, I took that just as seriously. And I did this research. And it was a big struggle, and I really had to change. But fortunately, by then, I learned, had already known how to hear from him and how to test what he had to say. So I already had that confidence, and my confidence only grew through this experience. And one of the things I really learned was that it was not about the money. I was amazed at how much he had to say on every opportunity I gave him. More than the effect it had on my expenses, my confidence in his commitment to me to make himself heard brought me great peace in this area. Now, today I enjoy giving like I never thought I would. Walking with the Lord can be both thrilling and humorous. But the more you give, the more you experience your new nature. And there is nothing more enlivening than being who you are, being joined to God himself. And again, God so loved, he gave. Giving, and not just money, but being abundant with who and what we are is an expression of our new nature. Learning to walk in the Spirit, which is all we're talking about, is not as hard as it sometimes made out to be. Stepping back from just talking about tithing and giving, here's some questions that I often ask myself, and feel free to borrow some of these, or if you want to create some of your own. But have some objective realities. God is not out to trick us. He is not a nebulous, spooky, feeling, touchy-feely, or rigid, standard-based God. He is a real being, a real person. And he reveals himself to us in reality. And so the more we take that relationship seriously and work at it, remember this, the temperament you have, the intellect, the heart, the mind, will, and emotions, the way he has put your temperament together, he likes that. It's not broken. He's not going to fix it. He gave you exactly what he wanted you to have in your soul. So the problem is not your soul. the way he gave it to you. The problem is your soul took on his role, took on his duties. And so now that he's here to take those duties back, your soul is reluctant to give them up. So depending on your personal situation, you're going to have unique struggles and unique challenges. But the answer for all those challenges is going to be the same. Go to God. What's our favorite phrase? Lord, is that you? Lord, what is your truth here? Lord, is this something you want to talk to me about? Just always turning to him. So when considering a choice, an action, or even when you're thinking about your own beliefs, or, you know, an area, something feels a little off here, something's bothering me about what's going on here, here are some questions that you can start with. And you, again, you can start here, make up your own list. Does this belief or activity draw me closer to the Lord? Or in some way, does it drive me away from him or separate me from him? Does this belief or activity encourage me to be real and honest with the Lord and with others? Or does it encourage me to pretend and act and rely on fulfilling a standard? Does this belief or activity encourage me to rely on my own strength or my own ability or on the Lord's strength and ability alone? Is the Lord able to fulfill the issue, just like what we were talking about? If you're being guilted into giving money to something, because if you don't, children will die. Guess what? Those children are God's responsibility. Now, God may want you to give to that, but it's not because without you, those children will die. He may want you to give because that's where he wants you to give. Does this belief or activity encourage me to rely on my faith or understanding or on the Lord's faithfulness and trustworthiness? In other words, I believe this because it fits with everything else I believe. Or it feels right. Or it sounds right. Or somebody that I trust believes this. Or is it, do we believe it because God says this is the truth? Are we confident in our ability to hear him and know his faithfulness? Does it encourage me to come closer to others and be vulnerable with others? Belief or activity hurts my reputation. Do I gain a closer relationship with him? Now, God didn't always say everything would go our way. If we want his reputation, honesty, integrity, and holiness, we will have to lose ours. Does it encourage me to be vulnerable to the Lord's dealings in my life? Or does this belief or activity impart the fear of consequences or the fear of making a mistake? And finally, remember, it is the goodness of the Lord that draws us, not the fear of displeasing him. the difference between tithing and giving is huge. It's, are we going to try to meet a standard in order to please God? Or do we give because we have already pleased Him? So we will be picking this back up. Well, another topic next week. If you have any questions or any feedback, any comments on these discussions, it's always good hearing from you. And yes, we will all. This will be a long-term struggle that we all have. Things go around and come back up, and you think you have them settled, and then it comes back up. And that's just the way it is. And that's part of life, is we things go around and come around, and we just have to, don't try to read things into it. Just because it keeps on coming up again, that doesn't mean anything, unless God says it means something. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again next week, the same time. Drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org if you feel like it. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.